Hare Krishna.
You know, I think you need to make it more horizontal, maybe push that further back. It is too much weight. If you push it more in the center, it can stay up.
Hare Krishna. So we are here to celebrate the great festival of Govardhan Puja. The Srimad Bhagavatam is considered to be the mature fruit of the tree of Vedic literature. And Srila Jiva Goswami has given elaborate arguments and evidence to support the fact that Srimad Bhagavatam is the supreme authority in spiritual matters. Now, people today are trained to have more faith in their senses and their minds than they have in Vedic evidence. And this has created a most unfortunate situation in society. I'll give one example. Decades ago now, it was reported that man had gone to the moon. Now, immediately, Russia denounced the report as being false. But soon thereafter, they came out with a statement that they accepted the truth of the claim that man went to the moon. Because although different world leaders are vying for competition, but ultimately they all have the common goal of keeping the people under their control. So the Soviet leaders thought, if we denounce the claim as false, then people will become confused, they'll doubt the leaders. So it's better to keep the people pacified. Let them have faith in the leaders. But one of my godbrothers, a fellow disciple of Srila Prabhupada, was in India at the time, and he was a Peace Corps worker, and he said that in the villages where he was working, no one believed that man went to the moon. I said, that's not possible. Chandraloka is a higher planet. There's no way they could have gone. So they had no faith in this claim. And when we were riding in the train with Srila Prabhupada from Bombay to Allahabad for the Maha Kumbh Mela. Kumbh Mela is a huge spiritual fair every 12 years. And every 12 Kumbh Melas, every 144 years is Maha Kumbh Mela. So we were riding in the train with Srila Prabhupada and he was discussing. And he said, many of the people, maybe most of the people who come to the Kumbh Mela are villagers who don't know English. They may not even be able to read. And he said, actually, it's better to be deaf than to hear nonsense. He was saying that because they could not hear the nonsense of the modern secular propaganda, their faith remained more intact and they came in greater numbers to the Kumbh Mela. The reason I mention this is because from a skeptical, materialistic point of view, everything about Govardhan Hill and Govardhan Puja seems fantastic. That it is just some story made up. But as long as we have the conception that the pastimes of Krishna and his relationship with Govardhan Hill and all of the devotees of Vrindavan is imaginary, we will remain in the material world, life after life after life, to suffer. And the Bhagavad Gita gives many admonitions that for the doubting soul there is no happiness in this life or the next. The Shastra Vidyam Utsrija Kamakara Tavartate, that one who disregards the scriptural injunctions and acts according to his own whims or lusts, Nasa Siddhim Navaptoti Nasukam Na Param Gati. He cannot attain perfection. He cannot attain happiness. And he cannot attain the supreme destination. So it is important that we have faith in the narrations of Krishna. In fact, that is the beginning of bhakti, adoshraddha. First of all, one must have faith. Without faith, one cannot enter the doorway to bhakti. You can enter the doorway to the temple, but that doesn't mean that you'll be liberated from the cycle of birth and death. So, with this introduction, I'll proceed to read a verse that describes the glories of Govardhan Hill. Now, Krishna is accepted in Vedic literatures as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And when he comes to earth from the spiritual realm, he brings with him his abode. Just like a government who has a foreign embassy. That embassy may appear to be like the country in which it's situated, but actually it's not. It is part of the country to which it belongs. And the laws of the neighboring state or the hosting state do not operate there, but the laws of the country that the embassy represents operates there. So Krishna comes to the material world. He may appear to be in the material world, and his abode or dham, Sri Vrindavan dham, may appear to be part of India, part of UP, but it's not. Everything about his dham is spiritual, although it is covered with a thin veneer of maya, or material energy. So ordinary people see it as an ordinary village, dirty, noisy, and corrupt. But beyond that is the actual feature of Vrindavan Dham. So, when Krishna was on earth 5,000 years ago, Govardhan Hill is actually an incarnation of Vishnu. He came to serve Krishna. And Krishna's most pure and devoted servants or lovers were the young gopis. And this is another topic to be understood. But they had spiritual bodies. They had no material bodies and no material desires. They wanted only to serve Krishna. And they were in such meditation on Krishna that even when he went out of the village with the cows and calves and cowherd boys, they could see him in their spiritual vision. And feel as if they were with him. So although this verse was spoken by the gopis when they were in the village, they speak as if they were there at Govardhan Hill. So I'll just read the translation. My dear friends, of all the devotees, this Govardhan Hill is the best. This hill supplies Krishna and Balaram, along with their calves, cows, and cowherd friends, with all kinds of necessities: water for drinking, very soft grass, caves, fruits, flowers, and vegetables. In this way, the hill offers respects to the Lord. being touched by the lotus feet of Krishna and Balaram, Govardhan Hill appears very jubilant. So please repeat so that you hear with attention. Of all the devotees, this Govardhan Hill is the best. Oh my friends, this hill supplies Krishna and Balaram along with their calves, cows, and cowherd friends with all kinds of necessities. Water for drinking, very soft grass, caves, fruits, flowers, and vegetables. In this way, the hill offers respects to the Lord. Being touched by the lotus feet of Krishna and Balaram, Govardhan Hill appears very jubilant. So this second line, Ramakrishna Charana Sparsha Pramoda. Charana means the lotus feet. Ramakrishna of Krishna and Balaram. Sparsha, being touched. Pramoda. Pramoda means very jubilant or exceedingly happy. So Govardhan Hill is being addressed as Haridasa Varya, the best servant of Lord Hari, Krishna. And all of us are aspiring to be good servants of Krishna. And how to be a good servant of Krishna can be learned from Govardhan Hill. So, Govardhan Hill gave his whole body for the service of Krishna. To the extent that Krishna and Balaram and their cowherd boyfriends and cows and calves walked all over Govardhan's body. And he felt jubilant. Now, how many of us are prepared to have our bodies stepped on? In fact, in common usage, if someone is treating us disrespectfully, taking advantage of us, we say we might tell it, he's walking all over you. You shouldn't let him. But Krishna and Balaram and all their boyfriends and cows and calves were walking all over Govardhan Hill. But he felt jubilant. And that is a most crucial element in rendering pleasing service. that the servant should be pleased to render the service. We all have the experience of asking someone to do something, and if they don't really want to do it, you know, if they do it in a very begrudging way, we don't really feel happy. In fact, we feel, if that's the way you feel, I'd rather just do it myself. You know, it's going to be such a burden on you to do this, then I'd rather just do it myself. But if someone is very happy to do the service, wants to do the service, wants to do more and more service, then that gives pleasure to the master. And when the servant sees that the master is pleased, the servant becomes more pleased. And when the master sees that the servant is pleased, the master becomes more pleased, which makes the servant more pleased, which makes the master more pleased. So it's a competition in which everyone becomes more jubilant. So that is one point that we can learn from Govardhan Hill, that we can really please whoever we're serving if we take pleasure in the service, if we're happy to do it. Now another important point is manam tanoti. Govardhan Hill is offering respect. Mana means respect. Like in the Shastakam we say, amanina manadena. I don't want any respect for myself, but I'm ready to offer all respects to others. So Govardhan Hill gives that example also. Manam tanoti. He offers respect. And not just to Krishna and Balaram, but Goganayos, to the cows and cowherd folks, the cowherd boys and girls. And Srila Prabhupada comments that Govardhan knew the secret of pleasing Krishna by serving and pleasing Krishna's devotees. That's also a very important lesson. We shouldn't want to just serve Krishna directly. Of course, we can't serve Krishna directly anyway. But we should know that we can please Krishna more by serving his devotees than by trying to serve him directly. Now, how did Govardhan Hill show his jubilation, his ecstasy? Because if someone is really jubilant, they'll show it. You can see it. It's part of the gifts that God has given us, that we can understand to some extent what other people are thinking and feeling. For example, if someone smiles spontaneously, we can think, you know, they're happy, they're pleased, they're amused. So, on what basis do we say, do the gopis say that Govardhan Hill is jubilant? So, Govardhan Hill has very tall grasses. And those grasses are said to be Govardhan's hairs standing on them in ecstasy. His waterfalls are said to be his tears, ecstatic tears of love and happiness and gratitude. And another of the ecstatic symptoms, astasati kavavs, is perspiration. So the water trickling through the rocks of Govardhan is ecstatic perspiration. And Krishna's feet, Ramakrishna Charana, Krishna's feet are very soft and delicate. And Govardhan Hill, when Krishna and Balaram are walking on him, he melts, literally, he melts in ecstasy. And his rocks become soft, just like butter. And thus he gives pleasure to the lotus feet of Krishna and Balaram and their associates. So, now what is the significance of this verse? It glorifies Govardhan Hill, but what is the intention of the gopis? The gopis wanted to meet Krishna, but because they were playing the parts of ordinary village girls, they were all under the protection of their, depending on their situation, under the protection of their parents, or under the protection of their husbands and in-laws. And they had no opportunity to go and meet Krishna, although it was their heart's deepest desire. So they thought that it is only by the mercy of great souls that one's desires can be fulfilled. And Govardhan Hill is the greatest devotee. So if we can go to Govardhan Hill, our desires to meet Krishna and serve Krishna will be fulfilled. So they were pious village girls. So they thought, we can tell our parents, tell our husbands and in-laws that we want to go to Govardhan Hill to worship Haridev. Haridev is the presiding deity at Govardhan Hill. He's the deity of Lord Narayan. How many of you have ever been to Govardhan Hill? If you've been to Govardhan Hill, raise your hand. Okay. Are you raising your hand or helping Krishna hold up Govardhan Hill? So, yeah, so they said, well, we will go to Manasi Ganga and take bath, and then we will go to Haridev and do worship. This was just the pretext, the excuse for going to Govardhan Hill. But they had faith that the mercy that they could get from Haridas from Govardhan Hill was greater than the mercy that they could get from Haridev, from Krishna. And that by the mercy of Govardhan Hill, by the mercy of that great soul, their desires would be fulfilled. And actually, it is the nature of Govardhan Hill to fulfill everyone's desires. There's a beautiful poem called Govardhan Astaka by Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. And each stanza ends with the line, "May Govardhan Hill fulfill my desire." And therefore, Vrijvasis, hundreds of thousands, even millions, they do circumambulation, parikrama, Govardhan Hill, because they are confident that Govardhan will fulfill their desires. And he does. But we should desire, like the gopis desire, only to serve Krishna, not for anything material. Of course, even if we approach Krishna with material desires, he may fulfill them. But he will fulfill them in such a way that you don't come back to him again to fulfill the same desire. Lord Krishna thinks that this person is a fool because he's approaching me for the poison of material sense gratification. But I am very intelligent, so I will deal with him in such a way that he will give up that poison of sense gratification and accept the nectar of pure devotional service. And I will deal with him. I may fulfill his desire, but in such a way that he will not approach me again to fulfill that desire. And sometimes it happens that we desire something, but that fulfillment of that desire does not bring us the result that we thought. In fact, sometimes it may have an opposite effect. I'll just give one example. There was a great king, Chitraketu, who had everything except a son. And he had more than one wife. The king's kshatriyas, they were allowed, but he couldn't get any son. So finally a great soul, perhaps Angira Muni, blessed him that he would have a son, but that son would be the cause of his distress. But he just heard he'll have a son. So he had a son, and he was jubilant. Everyone in the kingdom was happy, except the co-wives. They were envious, and they poisoned the son, and he died. And the distress that that king felt after losing his son was far greater than the distress that he felt because of not having a son. So we may approach the Lord for some something material, and he may fulfill our desire, but in such a way that we don't approach him again for that. So it's better from the beginning if we approach the Lord and great souls like Giri Govardhan with spiritual desires, like the gopis, just to serve and please Krishna without any desire for themselves. And by serving and pleasing Krishna, we become pramoda. We become exceedingly happy. That's how we become happy. Not by trying in our own independent way to enjoy, but by serving and pleasing Krishna and his devotees. So that was the benediction that the gopis wanted from Govardhan Hill, and he fulfilled their desire.
You know the Guru area. You go back and you ask, do you want us to do the and I can go. But ask him if there's any problem.
Yes, so coming back to Govardhan's ecstasy, sometimes the question is asked, how could the whole of Raja fit under Govardhan Hill when Govardhan Hill is just a part of Raja or Vrindavan? And the answer is that because of Govardhan's ecstasy, his body expanded. This is also one of the ecstatic symptoms, that one's body elongates. So there's a very nice description of Govardhan Leela. Of course, the basic description is in Srimad Bhagavatam. And there's another description that I had hoped to read to you today, but we don't have time. But this is a book. Well, it's actually one of 9 volumes. It's a big set of books called Nava Raja Mahima by Srila Prabhupada's disciple Shivaram Swami. And he has brought together various narrations of the Govardhan Leela from various Puranas and writings of our Acharyas. And it is a fascinating account. I mean, any question that you could possibly have about Govardhan Leela is pretty much explained. Like, one question is, how did Krishna do it? I mean, yes, we know he's all powerful, but practically, how did he do it? So it turns out that there is a cave at Govardhan Hill that went down under the ground. So Krishna went in that cave and he went under the ground, so that he was actually underneath Govardhan Hill. And from that position he began to lift it up. There are so many details. I recommend this. And there's another interesting part, that when this onslaught from Indra came, all the wind and rain and hail, and, like a tornado or a hurricane. So Krishna met with some of his cowherd boyfriends to discuss what to do. And they were considering, Krishna was thinking, I'll just go to invade Indra's kingdom, Swargaloka, and I'll destroy him and his whole kingdom. But then he thought, well, that won't be that much fun. I think this is a better idea. You know, just lift Govardhan Hill. And that led to a whole life. There's a whole chapter here, Life Under Govardhan Hill, how the Brijvasis were enjoying life with Krishna. So it's almost time for the aarti, and I will be going on to the altar for the aarti. But I will leave you in good hands and see you after the aarti. Shri Giri Govardhan Ki Jai.